It's time for Fresh Oil with singer-songwriter and pastor Keith Manley, a program designed to minister the gospel of God's grace and to bring fresh oil to the brokenhearted. And now, with today's program, Pastor Keith Manley.
Hello, neighbor. Welcome to Fresh Oil. I'm your host, Keith Manley, and today we're going to do a little verse-by-verse teaching from Paul's second letter to his spiritual son, Timothy. He begins the first verse by saying, "Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, according to the promise of life that is in Christ Jesus." I like the fact that Paul knew he was called by God. He was made an apostle, not by men, but by Jesus Christ and God's will. And he writes who he's addressing to. He says to Timothy, "My dear son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus, our Lord." Grace is when you get what you don't deserve. The very first thing Paul wished his spiritual son was God's unmerited favor, God's riches at Christ's expense. That's what grace is. It's when you get something that you really don't deserve. Eternal life is not something we deserve, friend. You never attain it by doing good deeds. It's a gift that God gives you because of who He is. And then he said, mercy. Now, what is mercy? Mercy is when you don't get what you do deserve. So grace is when you get something you don't deserve, but mercy is when you don't get what you do deserve. You and I, the Bible says, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. So we're all deserving of hell. We're deserving of the judgment of God. But God gives us mercy. And that's what Paul wished for his spiritual son, Timothy. And then the third thing he wished for him was peace. I love that. Peace is not the absence of conflict. You can be in the middle of a horrible battle and still have peace. Peace is the presence of God in the midst of your conflict. And he says, all this is from God the Father and Christ Jesus, our Lord. Now Paul begins to address Timothy. Look what he says. "I thank God, whom I serve, as my forefathers did, with a clear conscience, as night and day I constantly remember you in my prayers." I love the fact that Paul was a prayer warrior. He was someone that prayed more than once a day, because he said, "Night and day, I'm praying for you, Timothy, and I'm remembering you in my prayers." And in verse 4, he says, "Recalling your tears, I long to see you, so that I may be filled with joy." See, I believe in the body of Christ, we should have great relationships. We should have friends that know Jesus, and we have that. We're filled with joy when we pray for them, when we intercede for our brother. Paul says, "I've been reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded now lives in you also." Notice this is three generations of faith. Isn't that incredible? Paul said, your grandmother was a godly woman. Your mother was a woman of faith. And now I'm persuaded, Timothy, that it's been handed off to you as well. You see, life is not like a 50-yard dash. It's more like a relay race where one generation hands it off to the other as we train up our children in the Lord. And then that generation will hand it off to the next one. And it's won or lost in the handing off of the baton. It's so important that we train our children about our Savior, where they don't just learn religion, but they learn that we have a relationship with God. See, Paul spoke about that sincere faith. Timothy, I'm reminded of your sincere faith. It's not just religion he had. He had sincere faith. And he says this in verse 6, "For this reason I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands." You see, friends, sometimes the flame can grow dim. Sometimes the situations of life and the circumstances around us can bring discouragement and bring us down. And Paul's writing to Timothy to encourage him. He says, Timothy, fan that flame. Fan that gift inside of you into flame. And then he says, for God did not give us a spirit of timidity, but a spirit of power, of love, and self-discipline. Most of us have memorized this in the King James, and that's great both ways, because in the King James it tells us, God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and a sound mind. And that is so true, friend. God didn't give you the spirit of fear. Fear comes from the devil. But he's given us the spirit of power, of love, and a sound mind or self-discipline. See, God told Timothy, God didn't make you timid. You don't have to sit back and when you're under attack and not answer an attack from the devil. Be bold. The righteous are as bold as a lion. So he said in verse 8, so do not be ashamed to testify about our Lord, or ashamed of me, his prisoner, but join with me in suffering for the gospel. That doesn't sound easy, Paul. So he goes on and tells us how we can do it. By the power of God who has saved us and called us to a holy life, not because of anything we have done, but because of his own purpose and grace. Friend, I want you to understand something today about the call of God. I'm doing this program today because I've been called by God. I pastor a church for 40 years now, not because I don't have anything else to do, but it's because of the call of God. God put this upon my heart. And there are times when I have to fan into flame that gift that was given to me when I was just a young boy, when God called me into ministry. I believe with all of my heart, each of you listening to this program today, if you're born again, you got a call of God on your life. It may not be to pastor, it may not be to be a Sunday school teacher or a church singer, but listen, God has a call upon your life. There's something that you can uniquely do for the body of Christ. Paul goes on to say, this grace was given us in Christ Jesus before the beginning of time, but it is now being revealed through the appearing of our Savior, Christ Jesus, who has destroyed death and has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Friend, that gospel was what appeared to you and gave you eternal life. The gospel is the good news that God loved you so much that he gave his son, and he died for your sin so that you could live for him. He says, it has now been revealed through the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who has destroyed death and has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Jesus destroyed death so that we could have eternal life. Now, Paul's speaking about the gospel, and the gospel is good news. He says, and of this gospel, I was appointed a herald and an apostle and a teacher. That is why I am suffering as I am. Yet I am not ashamed, because I know whom I have believed, and I am convinced that he is able to guard what I have entrusted to him for that day. That's a very powerful verse, friend. It means no matter what you're going through, no matter what you are suffering, when you understand God's plan and you know who you have believed in, then you're convinced that he's able to guard what I've entrusted to him for that day. If you've given your heart and your life to Jesus Christ, friend, he's able to get you through whatever storm you're facing today. He's able to get you through it because he loves you and he's given you grace and mercy and peace. I'm sure as a young pastor, Timothy had come under attack, and I'm sure the flame of his vision and his calling had grown dim. And Paul writes this letter to encourage him. But I love what he says here in verse 13. Now get this today. Paul says, what you heard from me, keep as the pattern of sound teaching with faith and love in Christ Jesus. See, Paul's like, don't forget all those times I shared with you, Timothy. Don't forget all the teaching I gave you and you put it down in your heart. Keep it as the pattern of sound teaching with faith and love in Christ Jesus. Friend, it's so important that we have sound teaching. And Paul's saying, Timothy, the teaching I gave you, let it be the pattern for what you're going to teach the church you're now pastoring. He says, guard the good deposit that was entrusted to you. Guard it with the help of the Holy Spirit who lives in us. Now, Paul's talking here about the teaching that Timothy had received. Paul had shared with him the Word of God and what God had spoken to him. And he tells Timothy to guard it. Guard it with the help of the Holy Spirit that lives in us. Why did he tell him that? Because sometimes the devil will come and try and steal that sound teaching from your mind. He wants you to forget it, but we have to meditate upon the Word of God, upon everything God has taught us in His Word. We meditate on it, and we guard that deposit that was entrusted into us. He says in verse 15, you know that everyone in the province of Asia has deserted me, including Phygellus and Hermogenes. Now, can you imagine Paul, the great apostle that God used to reveal the gospel of grace to us as the church? And yet everyone in the province of Asia deserted him. Sometimes we struggle when we lose one person. And here's Paul. He lost everybody. But he's still encouraged because he knows the calling God put upon his life and the mission he had to do as an apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, verse 16, he says, may the Lord show mercy to the household of Onesiphorus, because he often refreshed me and was not ashamed of my chains. Aren't you thankful for those people that God puts in your life that they're not ashamed of, even though you're going through problems and you're going through chains in your life and things that might get messy when they have to come and deal with it? They're not ashamed of that. They're right there to support you. I got to tell you, friend, there have been people in my life who, no matter what I've gone through, they're there for me. They're there to encourage me and remind me of God's calling and His gift on my life. He says, on the contrary, when he was in Rome, speaking of Onesiphorus, when he was in Rome, he searched hard for me until he found me. May the Lord grant that he will find mercy from the Lord on that day. You know very well in how many ways he helped me in Ephesus. I think it's so great here that Paul is writing about this brother who sought him out when he was in Rome. He's like, I've got to find Paul. And at this point, Paul was imprisoned. And this guy comes to him and he's like, I want to be here, Paul, to encourage you. He says, you know very well in how many ways he helped me in Ephesus. Friend, I'm so thankful that God puts people in our life. I want you, as I'm closing today, to just think about some of the good people God has put in your life to encourage you spiritually. Perhaps it's a neighbor, perhaps it's someone in your church, perhaps it's your pastor, but God put them in your life so that you would have encouragement. We're talking this week on the book of 2 Timothy on Fresh Oil, and I hope you got something out of this today. I love verse-by-verse teaching. You get God's outline. You don't get what man thinks about it. You get the original outline like God wrote it when he gave it to the Apostle Paul. I hope you're encouraged today by the Word of God. I'd love to have you write to me. Let me know you're listening to Fresh Oil. Tell me the station or the city you're in. And we'd love to hear from you this week. Go to weneedgod.com, walk in grace.
Thanks for joining us today for Fresh Oil with Pastor Keith Manley. Fresh Oil is an outreach of Grace Family Church in Rockford, Illinois, and can be heard each weekday at this same time. You can reach us online at weneedgod.com. Until next time, remember, God's love for you is unconditional, and He makes His mercies new every morning.